The people of Thailand went to the polls today to vote on a new constitution. It would replace the one tossed out by the military-led government that took power in a bloodless coup last year. Final results of the referendum are expected tomorrow. If approved, the constitution will pave the way for a general election by the end of the year. Supporters of the charter argue it would return democracy to Thailand, but critics, including backers of ousted Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat, aren't so sure. NPR's Michael Sullivan is in the Thai capital, Bangkok. Michael, what's really at stake here?
Leanne, I think the Bangkok Post had it pretty much spot on this morning. Their lead was the popularity of the coup makers and the future of Thai politics will be put to the test today. And I think that's exactly right. I mean, a low turnout, anything short of 50% yes vote, that'd be a huge embarrassment for the military and the interim government. I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll get the 50% at the very least for a variety of reasons. And the biggest is, people are just tired of the political instability that's followed the coup and the instability that went on for several months before it, when there were all those huge demonstrations in the streets demanding that Thaksin resign or be put in jail or both.
The coup leaders and their supporters, I mentioned in the intro that they're calling today's vote a first step on the road to democracy. How accurate is that assessment?
Well, they're the coup leaders. I mean, they would say that now, wouldn't they? But the fact is that they did take power through a coup, and it's the latest of many since Thailand became a constitutional monarchy. They did depose a democratically elected leader, and this new constitution is drafted by people appointed by the military. So a lot of analysts here agree that this constitution is a step back from the one they got rid of. This one takes power away from the executive and puts it in the hands of the bureaucracy, the Thai elite, the military. And here's an example. I mean, in the new constitution, half of the Senate will in the future be appointed by the bureaucrats rather than chosen by voters. And that's just one of many examples, critics say, of how power is being taken away from the politicians and the people and restored to the elite, and that includes the bureaucracy and the military. And let me add here that these critics, they're not just Thaksin supporters. I mean, some of these are academics and other people in civil society who believe that the 97 constitution, which was hugely popular, was just abused by Thaksin when he was in office.
So what about the former Prime Minister Thaksin? What's he saying? What are his supporters saying about the referendum? Are they going to vote no? Might they boycott it?
I think a lot of them went out and voted today. I think a lot of them voted no. I think a lot of them stayed home, too. I mean, for them, it's simple. He was democratically elected, not once, not twice, but three times. And then he was unlawfully removed. So, you know, the September coup to them is illegitimate. The referendum is illegitimate. But of course, facts on the ground suggest otherwise, right? I mean, the military is here. They're in charge. Thaksin's party has been disbanded. Thaksin is in exile. And arrest warrants were issued last week for both him and his wife in connection with some of his alleged financial improprieties while in office. Thaksin himself, he's not saying much, and that's a bit odd. I mean, he's keeping uncharacteristically quiet since the coup. He used to be very outspoken. And right now, he just seems to be pretty busy with a soccer team he just bought while he's in exile in England, Manchester City.
But how serious is the Thai government about asking for his extradition from Britain?
I think it's unclear at this point. I mean, I think they need to be very careful, Leanne. I mean, their current campaign of trying to vilify him, that's okay. But I think if they actually ask the UK to extradite him, what happens when he comes back? I mean, I think they run the risk of turning him into a martyr and having his, you know, diehard, hardcore supporters come out into the streets. And there's still lots of them left. So I think the government needs to be a little careful about that. But if that happened, that might be bad for Manchester City, too, because then it's conceivable that he would no longer be a fit and proper person, according to the league, and they might take his new football team, his new soccer team, away from him. That would be really bad for the team because he's spending lots of money on new players right now to make the team a contender. And if they got rid of him, who knows what would happen there.
Michael, why should Americans care about this? Are there American interests at stake?
Directly, probably not, but indirectly. I mean, the U.S. is always interested in promoting democracy, and they would like to see Thailand become a democratic country once again. But I think there's, you know, indirect economic implications for the U.S. too. I mean, more political instability here could lead to more economic instability. Investors could get scared, foreign investment could dry up, and then, you know, you could be off to the races.
NPR's Michael Sullivan. Michael, thank you.
You're welcome, Leanne.